Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 3rd, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page XXVI, the fourth paragraph. So we work out and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry S. for the 12 steps, Shelley E. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are K.P. and Elaine B. The share ID for Sunday, August 2nd, special edition is 15,090. That's 15090. This morning's Monday, August 3rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 15,093. 15093. Our newcomer greeter for today is Amy K., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry S. to read the 12 steps, please. Terry, can you press star one? There you
yes.
go.
This is Terry S. in Oregon. Recovering food addict. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry S. And Shelley E., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning. This is Shelley E. I'm calling from Northern Michigan, normally from Texas. And these are the 12 traditions. I'm also recovered. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a great day. I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page XXVI, the fourth paragraph that begins with, though we work out, and we'll be commenting and on that one paragraph only. So good morning, KP. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is KP from Malden, South Carolina, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. So we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who is very jittery or befogged. More often than not, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached, as he then has a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. Okay, to start with the first line here, we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane. I think it's important that they mentioned the spiritual first because it is the most important part. I think that we cannot do the altruistic and be an abstinent and make it work. You just have to have that key part of spirituality, the God of your own understanding. However you see your higher power. The altruistic plane is also very important. Doing for others is what strengthens your own recovery, your own abstinence, your own spirituality. Doing altruistic acts is very important. It says we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who's very jittery or befogged. I'm sorry I can't give you page and paragraph number, but it does say somewhere else in the book about that the Big Book has no problem with getting outside help for any of these issues. They're talking specifically, about alcoholism here, but food disorders or any of that. There are psychiatrists and therapists, and they have ways of helping you that perhaps your sponsor is unaware of. I'm talking a lot about myself here. I was not born a compulsive eater. I grew into this because of traumas in my life that started when I was a young person, a child. And it seemed like one trauma and I would seem to put things in its place and move on. And eventually, these all piled up on me after several different traumas that my doctor said any one of could cause PTSD. But if you have an issue like that, get help. Take care of it. There's nothing to be ashamed of in the program. The book says it's okay to get outside help. And we're talking about hospitalization here if you need it in order to get your mind clear. And that's what I needed to do. I don't know that you would say I was jittery or befogged. I'm not really sure how I would describe myself. But I definitely needed the help, and I got it. And I don't think I could have worked this program until I got my head together on several levels. One of those meaning outside help. Another one meaning being abstinent. You cannot understand why you have to totally stop eating a particular food until you stop eating that particular food. Once it's out of your system, you understand how it affected you. And you really can appreciate the fuller picture then.
Thank
you can have the mind to connect with your higher power, the God of your own understanding that way. And you can be able to think of others instead of only yourself. I didn't know what a selfish person I was until I got in this program and my fellows pointed it out to me. And then I have to laugh about it now. We all laugh about that in groups. But yes, I was a very selfish person and didn't even know it until my head was clear and befogged. I think my time is about up. I will go ahead and pass. Thank you for letting me do service. And I will pass.
Thank you, KP. Okay, just a reminder, we're on page XXVI, the fourth paragraph that begins with, though we work out, we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Joanne.
Did I hear John? Did I hear John?
Joanne.
John M. Larry. Is in Mary?
Larry G.
Johan M.
Oh, Johan M. Okay. Sorry, Johan. Okay. And then I got Ginger C. and Larry. What's your initial, Larry?
G.
G. Okay.
Elaine B.
I can take one more. Okay, well, let's stop there then. So I have
Jordan
Donna
L.
B. Jordan L. Okay, thanks for getting in there, Jordan.
Great.
Donna B., Johan M., Ginger C., Larry G., Elaine B., and Jordan L. So go ahead, please, Donna B. And if everyone else can star one to mute, please.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Denver. And I was really moved this morning to comment on the first part of the paragraph. So we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as an altruistic plane. And on a previous page or in a future page, I know that I have a definition for altruistic written, but I'm not entirely sure what page that is. But from my recollection, altruistic is wanting to help others out of a sincere desire to be helpful to others. I believe that the word altruistic really refers to the spirit of service, of carrying the message to others. For no personal gain to ourselves, but because we want to be selfless and of service to others. And in some recent inventory that I've been doing, I've been able to see, and it's very hard to say out loud, how desperately I still want to believe that other people care about me, that they care about me so much that if I was in a desperate position, they would be willing to sacrifice themselves for my well-being. And in wanting to feel safe in the company of humans, I have been self-seeking, going through a great deal of effort to manipulate people into liking me, into manufacturing their perception of me. And in the process of doing that, I have caused harm. When I think about being sincerely altruistic, I know that I'm dependent on a power greater than myself and greater than any human power. Sincere altruism requires a complete restructuring of my thinking, my actions, my motivations. I have continued to be befogged in this element of recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Okay, good morning, Johan M. You are up, followed by Ginger C.
Hello, thank you. My name is Johan, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling from Sweden. I'm very glad to be online, on the line, not online, on the line. And I'm a bit nervous as well. I've been listening to this meeting for over a year now, every day, and it's just been a big part of my recovery. I came to OA in the beginning of last year, and I thought I was at my bottom. I started working. I worked step one, two, three, and then I was in step four for months, which made me go out in May that same year. I was out for 3 days, then I came back, I changed sponsor, and I got a sponsor that actually introduced me to A Vision for You. And also I started working the steps like my hair was on fire. I really worked them through fast, and I had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps. And I just woke up 2 days after I had been through the last steps, and I had recovered. I was at perfect ease. I was calm, and the obsession was lifted from me. It was a miracle. And since then, I've been living in step 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis. I had a woman call me here the other day, and she asked me, "How do you keep connected with God?" And the first thing I could that came to mind was working with others. And that takes me to this paragraph as well, because this paragraph is very important for me as a sponsor. The people I work with need to be cleared. I mean, they need to have a couple of days of abstinence before I start working with them. Because if they are not abstinent while I'm working with them, they are in their old solution, the food, and there is no use doing anything. So abstinence is really number one. If I start working with a person, if they call me, they need to be abstinent for at least a couple of days, and then we can start to work. But I love this program, and I love OA, and now I have a Vision for You sponsor as well, since a couple of 1 month or 2 months here. And I'm really going deeper into Big Book, and it's just amazing. And abstinence has become so much more than just the food. It's about so many things in my life, and this program has really healed my relationships around me, and I can be a father today to my child, and I can be a child to my father, and it's just amazing how this program works if I just work the steps, and if I do it fast. That was the key for me. Like,
time, please.
Working the steps like my hair was on fire. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much, I pause.
And thank you so much, Johan M. from Sweden. And good morning, Ginger C. You are up, followed by Larry G.
Good morning, Kathleen, and thank you so much for your continued service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I love hearing Sweden on the line. I mean, this is worldwide, and thank you, God, and thank you, Bill and Bob, and especially Bill, putting pen and paper down, because a lot of us are out of this food nightmare today because of these clear-cut directions that lie on these pages. And I couldn't agree more with the past share. You know, it says more often than not, so not 100%, but more likely, it's imperative. It's super important that this man's brain be cleared, meaning the food's down and out of the system, entire abstinence, before he's approached, because then why? He has a better chance of not only understanding, but accepting what we have to offer. And this may be this man's only chance. Who knows, you know, when that window of opportunity rolls down, who knows if it's going to roll again if you decide to take that first bite and you go back to the insanity of the food. So we want to give this man the best shot possible. And I'm not saying it's 100%. I have a dear friend in Denver who's got 35 plus years of entire abstinence today, and he did not start out that way. But from my experience, and that's what each and every one of us shares every day, it's just what I experienced. I had to get clean and clear before this thing could begin. And most importantly, you know, there's effects. There's many effects. Food's one. There are many effects out there. Drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, shopping, codependency, gaming, too much technology and Netflix. So whatever I'm using, whatever effect I'm seeking, I'm not going to be seeking God. And that's what this program's all about. This is what this book's about, for me to tap into this power that lies down deep within me. But if I'm getting an effect, I'm getting ease and comfort from that effect, why do I need God? Why will I go in that direction? I won't. But I get clean, I get clear, I get off the Titanic with all these addictions and all this crap trying to take me away from God. Oh man, am I searching and seeking and praying and asking each and every day? That's all I got. And I can't afford to go back to that first bite. And I'll just end with this. The other day I was in the store with my son and my husband, and we're in the aisle at the end. And of course, you know, it's at the aisle at the end is all the candy and every candy bar you can imagine. And my son just looked at me and he goes, I cannot believe it's almost been 5 years since you've eaten one of those bars. I mean, blown away for me and my recovery, but more importantly, blown away for those around me. I'm alive, awake, and alert, and I am connected to these people in a way that I never was when I was eating. Thank you, God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Okay, good morning, Larry G. It is your turn, followed by Elaine B.
Good morning, Larry G. from Northern California. I am so inspired by A Vision for You members and the clarity in how some of these paragraphs are explained. I'm not a medical person, but I can prove to you that I have a malady of mine. And it needs to be defogged, as the reader said, before I can start working on all the other things that need to be worked on. I would wake up in the middle of the night and just sit up, and it was like my brain would say, eat. It would not be a problem in the world, but I would get up at 11 o'clock at night, go to my favorite crack house, buy desserts, ice cream, bagels, macaroni and cheese, whatever. And I couldn't even wait to get in the car. I would sit in this Starbucks kiosk, and I would shove it down as fast as I could. I did this just like I did with drinking. And then this unease that I was feeling, this food would just wave over me, and I would start to feel calm in my own skin. And it might last an hour or two, but then that terrible nightmare would begin. Now, the reason I can prove that it's a malady of the mind for me is because it used to only take maybe 6 to 8 hours for my mind to clear up, but I did so much damage over the last 4 or 5 years with that routine that was now taking me, if it was a Saturday night, it would now take me well into Tuesday, Wednesday, until I could start to feel my brain clear up. My wife knew exactly when I'd have caffeine or if I had sugar or flour, because my personality changed. And it wasn't until visions that I understood that. And it wasn't until actually I gave up watermelon. My sponsor, his brother, said, Larry, you eat a lot of watermelon. Can you guarantee that sugar is not affecting you? And can you guarantee that you're not going to be triggered into eating more sugar 2 or 3 days? And I said, I can't. And I'm so willing to give that up because I was in so much pain on May 17th when I came to this Visions for You call this year. I didn't give it up. I'm happy to let go of it. And I'm beginning to see how, for the first time, how horribly difficult.
Larry, let everybody know what category they were in.
Wow. I do. I think that's the baller move. Let people know where they are.
Larry, if you're still there, go ahead. I'm sorry. Are you there, Larry? Okay, I'm going to move on, but I want to make sure I can be heard. I don't know what that little interruption was, but can I be heard?
I hear you, Kathleen.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so Larry, I apologize for whatever that interruption was, but we'll go ahead with you, Elaine. Go ahead, please, followed by Jordan now.
Okay, thanks so much for your service, and thank you, Dashboard, for covering that background noise. And so, I'm just going to focus on the jittery or befogged, and I really had no idea how much my brain could be fogged up by my alcoholic substances, which was food and sugar and chocolate and fat and lovely combinations thereof. And my impetus to join OA with a more committed, instead of just watching him walking out, listen to the message, thinking I got this, put down sugar for 3 months, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm all set. Yeah, right. So I got engaged, and so I went to an OA meeting, and I found a sponsor, and she gave me, I'm so glad I started out with phones. She gave me her phone number and talked about getting a food plan together and gave me a number for a phone meeting and lots of my meetings were focusing on the tools. And one of the tools is abstinence and a food plan. And so I'm very grateful for that. We were invited to a wedding that my husband knew this family very well. And it was a second marriage. So the kids were there and they're like, they called him Uncle Rick. Uncle Rick, Uncle Rick, eat some chocolate, Uncle Rick. And I'm like, why are they doing that? And then I saw why. He ate chocolate, and he became a one-man jungle gym. He's flipping kids around in the air. They're climbing up on his body. They're just like, he was insane with these kids. And then he had a blast at the wedding, and so did they. And then he was suicidal for 3 days afterwards. I saw the impact of food, this highly sensitive person. I am highly sensitive to some substances, too. And I did not realize that. You know, when I got the food plan, I remember waking up one day, it was about 3 months after being on this food plan. Every cell in my body was alive that morning. The light was brighter. My veins felt freer. Everything was flowing. I could think more clearly. I had no idea. And yet this is a progressive disease. And so 6 years later, and then I could see I needed to do the steps. 6 years later, trying to get through the steps in a very slow way. I really like to appreciate doing it with, like, your hair's on fire. I got into an awful relapse. I got a letter from my husband about 5 months into the relapse saying, you've taken on a new lover and food. My brain was so fogged, I didn't even get it until I found that 2 years later after I got recovered. And thank you, God, that we can be befogged. So if you don't think it's impacting you, you may be surprised. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. Okay, Jordan, before we take you, I just want to remind everyone that we're on page XXVI, the fourth paragraph that begins with, though we work out, and I'll be taking some more names after Jordan shares. So go ahead, please, Jordan.
Okay. Good morning, Elaine. Kathleen and Elaine. my name is Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And really grateful to be here and to be abstinent this morning. I just wanted to point out a couple of things. This paragraph, I've never noticed it before, but it differentiates the spiritual and the altruistic, which a lot of times we don't. Like, a lot of times those two things go hand in hand, and they most definitely do. Like, as I get closer to a higher power, that resource that is deep down within me that I didn't, I just couldn't get in contact with, I couldn't gain power from without having the food down. As I get closer to that, as I become aware of that and start to understand that, it brings me closer to my fellows, especially in program. It puts me in a position to be of better service to them, right? I grow in understanding and effectiveness. It's like the way that steps 10, 11, and 12, they all work together. I think it's important to differentiate the two, because I can be on a spiritual journey and still trying to protect myself from my fellows, you know. So I get closer to this inner resource. I also get closer to my fellowship, you know, and even like the fellowship can expand to be outside of program too. I need other people in my life, and it's important to remember that, especially during a time when it's like socially acceptable to isolate the way that it is right now. So those two, they go together. Progress of one has to lead to progress of the other too. And then the other thing that came to mind is about a man's brain being cleared. When I put down the food, there was a lot of stuff that came up for me, and it was very much like I put down the food. I was fully immersed in this program, and I did. I understood things about this book that I had never understood before, even after reading it for years and years. So it is imperative. And it's scary because the food was my solution. So the prospect of living life without my solution is really, really scary. But that's what's in here is directions for that. It's the precise directions for how to live life without that solution, with a new solution. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. Okay, we're on page XXVI, the fourth paragraph, though we work out. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph? Terry S.
Barbara P.
Barbara P.
Patty D.
Elaine G.
Mary G.
Anyone want to jump in? Okay, then we'll stop there. So I have Terry S., Barbara P., Patty D., Elaine G., and Mary G. So good morning, Terry S. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Terry S. in Central Oregon, recovering food addict. And the sentence that I have outlined is very clear. It's imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached. And in my mind, I can still hear there's a speaker on this line who does unbelievable amounts of service, and I can hear his voice. This is step zero. Put down the food. And that echoes in my head every time I think of him. We were lucky enough to have him come to Central Oregon and do our retreat live, back when we could do that in 2019. And he really was emphatic about making the point that we have to put down the food in order to even get to step one. And that has been true for me. I have tried to work the steps while I've been in the food or sort of abstinent or whatever. But when I really put down those alcoholic foods and got on a food plan from a nutritionist that works for me and really worked on my abstinence, it just made everything pop. And the stuff in the big book makes sense. It's a guide. It gets me into recovery, but I can still hear his voice, and it's just such a lovely memory. He is so emphatic, and he says it over and over. I don't think any of us left that retreat thinking that we could. Anyway, so that was my experience. But thank you. I'm glad to be here, and it's been wonderful to hear everybody's shares. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Terry S. Good morning, Barbara P. You are up next, followed by Patty D.
Good morning. This is Barbara P. in the Atlanta, Georgia area, recovered compulsive overeater. Glad to be with y'all this morning. And I get kind of stuck on, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who's very jittery or befogged. And, you know, it's so easy. We'll say, got to put down the food. Well, I wish I could if I would. I mean, I really could have if I could have, I would have. But at any rate, some of the best piece of practical advice given to me from my big book guide when I started, because it was really hard. It's hard to give up my best friend, and that's how I felt. The wisdom she showed me in this paragraph was that we favor hospitalization. She said, okay, most of us can't necessarily go to the hospital, but how can we create that in our homes? How can you create a rehab, basically, or a hospital in your home? Also remembering that's going to be a temporary measure for most of us. Hospitalization isn't usually how we're going to live the rest of our lives, but at least for the next 30 days. It was such practical advice. It reminded me I'm a very sick person, you know, because guess what, y'all? I mean, after a few days, I started feeling better. The stuff was getting out of my system. I started feeling pretty good. I still had to remember I was a very sick person. And she said, look, if you were in a hospital, they'd bring you 3 meals a day on a tray. It would be somewhat contained and have boundaries around it. You'd have the food you had. That was it. There wouldn't be any more. You know, they'd come in and say, now it's time for this treatment or that treatment or this test. And that was my meetings and the different things I needed to do. The program work I needed to do. I just had to go for some maybe regimen for the first at least period of time to dry out. And I had to remember I was very sick. I had been very sick. And even as I started to heal, that I still had to take a lot of care. So if there was a party the following weekend and I get a lot of sponsees, well, now I'm ready to go out and do this. And, you know, the reality is I just have to remember I was very ill. I'm still very ill. And for a period of time, hospitalization, creating that sort of safety net around me was really important. Anyway, thanks. It was the best wisdom I was given in the beginning, and I love to share it with sponsees today. And I still do it today when I'm going through a rough time for any reason, let's say emotionally. Thanks. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara P. Good morning, Patty D. It is your turn, followed by Elaine G.
Hi, this is Patty D. in Matthews, North Carolina. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. I'm sorry if you hear the hum of the air conditioner in the car, but we're in North Carolina, and that speaks all. So, I think when I heard the reading this morning, I was thinking how initially I did put down the food. I had alcoholic foods that were obvious to me and to my first sponsor. And I remember feeling awful that first week. Just, you know, I get chronic migraines anyway, but the migraines just intensified and I was exhausted. I just felt like I had the flu. And it was all this withdrawal from the sugar and the flour and, you know, my alcoholic stuff. But then, you know, in the past 2 years where I've been basically off most of that, there's still things that I'm noticing that I need to stop. And it's getting refined. But, you know, in the times when I've relapsed, I always know that, okay, when you're starting over, now you got 3 days before you can really dig in again, because it's in your body and you got to get it out of your body before you can really think clearly. I mean, that's a given. It's just part of the process. And this last time, you know, that was true also. I'm on day 9 of abstinence now and, you know, feel good. But I'm in a very rigorous program that my sponsor has me on, which also feels good, because it's like, I don't think I ever understood what it meant to work the steps like your hair's on fire. And I'm not yet into the full steps, but I am working my recovery like my hair's on fire. It's everything. It's all day long. And my husband understands that. It's like, I got to make a call. Okay. Dinner's going to be late. Okay. So, I mean, this is everything. And I understand that now. It took a while, but I understand it now. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. Okay, we have Elaine G. followed by Mary G. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. This is Elaine G. from Florida. Thank you for this opportunity to share. I appreciate that. What jumped out me was there's words here in this statement that we take for granted because they're used like we say hello, so commonplace. The word work in particular was one that jumped out at me, and the definition for that is activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a result. And I don't think I ever thought about work from the mental side of it. I mean, I have a job. Things are by rote, you know what to do. It's not something I cognitively have to think about, perhaps the steps that I'm doing, because they're innate in my nature for what I do. However, with the steps, I really have to take a step back to unfog my brain and really work at it to get to the solution. And the solution, here's another word of action or process of solving a problem. So both of those things are requiring action, movement, to get to where I need to be. I have never in my life imagined that I would have a situation arise in my day that I didn't make a beeline for the part of my home that has perishables in it, or non-perishables, because I could binge on those too. It never ever occurred to me that that would happen. And I am so grateful today that I could say to you on the line, for all of your shares that you have given, that I am there. Amen, higher spirit, higher power, whatever you want to call them, because without the higher power, I never would be in that place. And so the defogging of the brain for me was integral in getting to this point. And on that, I pass and thank you again for your service today.
Thank you, Elaine G. Okay, we're going to take Mary G, and I'll have time for one more person after Mary G. So we'll be ready to jump in there. Good morning, Mary.
Oh, okay. Good morning. Hi, this is Mary G. Thank you to all who are giving service this morning. And, you know, what really stuck out to me is this very first sentence. though we work out our solution on the spiritual as well as the altruistic. In my meetings that I've gone to before I started listening to the Vision for You meetings, the solution that I heard didn't really have much to do with the spiritual and the altruistic. The solution that I heard was get a food plan, get a sponsor, make phone calls, make sure you write, make sure you read. And I don't want to knock, you know, my home group, but the message had just become so very diluted. And I'm so grateful that I started listening to these meetings in the beginning of May, because the message that I hear now is so clear. You know, we work out our solution. This is a solution on the spiritual. So the spiritual, you know, steps 10, 11, and 12, and the altruistic flame, selflessness, you know, the 12th step, working with others. That's our solution. Get with your higher power and get out of yourself. You know, the food plan is important and making phone calls is important and all that, but this is the message that I'm getting. So I'm so grateful to that God is speaking to me through all of you, because I truly do believe that God is, you know, talks through others. And now I'm getting a very clear message. And I'm very grateful for that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary G. Okay, I have time for one more. Who wants to jump in there?
Ken W.H.
Go right ahead, Ken. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ken W.H., a recovered compulsive reader from North Carolina. And I just, this just thought came to my head when it talks about being clearing the mind from the befogment, if that's a word. One of the things I've become aware of is that I have needed to clear my brain of all of the misunderstandings and the misinformation that I've accumulated over the years of my time in recovery. I have had a lot of misunderstandings about my relationship to food, certain foods, how to do the steps, and I've been around this thing for a long, long time in other programs, and I've had experience in OA for many, many years, but I've also learned a lot of less than helpful information, and I have had to be cleared or be unbefogged of some of that misunderstanding that I've accumulated over the years, and that's my own misunderstandings. I own that myself. So I've had to do a lot of clearing out and letting go of what I believed to be absolutely true, that really, I just actually blocked myself from the sunlight of the spirit by doing that. So I'm just so grateful for all of you on this line. You are a special group of people, and I thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you so much, Ken. Okay, and thank you, everyone, for your just really heartfelt, amazing shares this morning. So we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Elaine B., would you please read A Vision for You?
Certainly, Kathleen. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't thought. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.